If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. I want to, this evening, challenge you as a church to take a big step. To take a big step for the gospel and for the cause of God's kingdom. And you may have seen in your bulletins already, the title for the sermon is New Missionaries. And I want to challenge you from this text in Acts 16 to consider as a church to send out new missionaries from your church. Before I continue, let me pray and ask the Lord to bless as His word is preached. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening on this Lord's Day, grateful for the opportunity to meet as your people and to open up your word and hear it preached. So, Father, please help me by your Spirit to speak your word. May it be a message for this church this day, and that we would hear your voice and that we would have power from your Spirit to obey and to honor Christ in our generation. And we pray in His name. Amen. So Acts 16, 1 through 3, and I'll read these first three verses. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And I'll stop there. This text has to do with the taking on of a new missionary. Not much is said, from my experience, about new missionaries being taken on in local churches to do pioneer gospel work. Why is that? Why do most local churches in our country not speak much of taking on and sending out new missionaries to do pioneer gospel work? Well, let me suggest three reasons in the introduction here. The first is that most people, and I'm talking about professing Christians in our culture and in our country, most would consider missions to be in the area of medical, of support work, of education, construction, and along these lines. Not as evangelizing the world through preaching the gospel the way the New Testament portrays it. So I think that's one reason why new missionaries being taken on and sent out from local churches is not spoken much of. The second reason is possibly the inward focus of many local churches in our country, thinking just of themselves or just their community and such. And the third possible reason that I thought of is that many churches would not consider missions and the sending out of new missionaries to do this type of ministry as relating to their realm and responsibility, but to schools and organizations. Now, these are general statements, I understand that, but from my experience, from what I've seen and heard, and from considering our culture and evangelical churches throughout the country, these could possibly be three reasons why local churches do not speak much of taking on and sending out new missionaries. The mission of all of God's local churches is what we call missions. Hence the name. That's where we get the term missions from. To do the work of the Great Commission and to evangelize the world. That's your mission as a church, locally and also globally. So your mission is to directly participate in advancing the gospel message to areas in the world where the gospel has never gone. Through praying, through giving, through sending. And that's where I'm going to encourage and challenge you this evening, in the area of sending out a new missionary from your church. So how do we do this in our generation? You know, we read church history and missionary biographies and things like that. But how do we do this in 2019 when we consider new missionaries going on to do pioneer gospel work? And this is why the issue of new missionaries is vitally relevant for today. So we're going to ask and answer six questions from our text. Let me just overview them for you here at the beginning. The first is, should new missionaries be taken on? Yes. Second, who takes on new missionaries? Third, from where are new missionaries taken on, or who sends out new missionaries? Fourth, what kind of new missionaries are taken on and sent out? Fifth, what are new missionaries taken on to do? And then sixthly, we'll see, why should new missionaries be taken on? So those are the six questions and answers we will answer this evening from our passage here in Acts 16. So let's begin. First question from our text, should new missionaries be taken on? And this text has to do with a new missionary being taken on. If there's any passage we could go to relating to this issue of a new missionary being taken on, certainly we see it here in Acts 16, 1 through 3. The simple answer is yes, new missionaries should be taken on in our generation and in our time to continue the work of the gospel and to evangelize the world. Jesus himself took on and sent out missionaries or evangelists. Luke 10, 1 through 2 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus did it. We see it throughout the New Testament. The answer clearly is, yes, we should take on and send out new missionaries. Jesus said in John 20, 21, as the Father sent me, I send you. Certainly, it's Jesus' desire and his call to us today as his disciples to continue the work of missions, which certainly means taking on and sending out of new missionaries. New missionaries, evangelists, whatever term you'd like to use, were taken on throughout the book of Acts. And I mentioned this morning in the report on our missions work, the book of Acts we could see as the missions handbook of the New Testament. And we see that throughout the book of Acts, new missionaries being taken on. At the very beginning, in chapter 13, we read that chapter. But in the beginning of the chapter, the first missionary team being sent out, Paul and Barnabas. And then we see others like John Mark and Silas and Timothy and couples like Priscilla and Aquila sent out to do the work of the Great Commission. William Carey had to fight for this in his generation not too long ago. You know, a lot of churches back then were saying, you know, we don't really need to do missions and the Lord will get it done. We could just sit in the pews and do nothing. And William Carey is like, that's ridiculous. Of course we have to continue the work in our generation. Matthew 28, the probably most well-known missions passage, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Again, we see Jesus' desire and command to send out, to take on new missionaries to do the work of the Great Commission and see the gospel advance throughout the world. Preaching the gospel to the unevangelized and throughout the world where the gospel still hasn't gone is so important, we must take on new missionaries and send them out. So what should be our response to this? Be part of new missionaries being taken on and sent out to bring the gospel to new areas in the world. That's the simple response. As you function as a church here in Rhode Island, as you have your prayer meetings, as you preach, as you have your Sunday school classes, and as you gather together as a church and have fellowship and pray, certainly one of the things you should be thinking of and praying about is taking on and sending out new missionaries. So that's the first question. Should new missionaries be taken on? Yes. Secondly, who takes on new missionaries? And we see this here in our text as well. Who's the one who takes on the new missionary here in our text? And we see that it's the current missionary, Paul. He comes to the city, to the church, as the current missionary, if I can use that term, and takes on a new missionary, recruits a new missionary. And we see that here in the text as the young man, Timothy. Current missionaries see the evangelistic need the most because they're on the front lines like Paul. And so current missionaries are usually the best to recruit new missionaries. They're there on the front lines. They see what's going on. You know, one of the things I tell people is practically one of the reasons I'm going back to New Guinea as a man is because I was there when I was younger as a kid with my parents. And the Lord used that in my life to convict me, to burden me, to bring me back. Current missionaries on the front lines doing pioneer gospel work see the evangelistic need the most. You know, I was there in New Guinea as a kid, and I saw firsthand there's areas in the world where the gospel has never gone. Most American Christians haven't experienced that. But the current missionaries on the front lines have, and we see that here in our text as well. Paul, going to different areas, going to new areas, seeing firsthand there's unevangelized villages, there's unevangelized towns and cities and provinces. He saw it. He went to this church. He recruited Timothy to join him in this work. Also, current missionaries are already on the ground, and so more than anyone else, they can take a new missionary on and get them up and running. You know, if Paul hadn't come there to recruit Timothy and to take Timothy on, and the church sent Timothy out, it would have certainly been more difficult for Timothy to begin this work. But because Paul came through as a current missionary, it was easier for them to continue to the work together and for Paul to help Timothy get up and running. That's just a practical observation. So what should our response to this be? One of your main goals as a church, not your only goal, but certainly one of your main goals that we see in the New Testament should be to take on new missionaries and to see current missionaries take on new missionaries. And again, that's one of our desires. I mentioned that this morning in the report. One of our desires in the ministry in New Guinea is to see other couples join us. The third question. From where are new missionaries taken on? Or who sends out the new missionaries? And this is certainly related to the question we just looked at. And where does the new missionary come from? The local church. We see that here in our text. Paul goes to the local church. He sees a man who's gifted in the local church, a man who's desiring to be in the ministry as a missionary evangelist. And so Paul recruits him and takes him on. Notice, Paul doesn't go to the school. He doesn't go to an institution or an organization, but he goes to the local church where he takes on a new missionary. That's very important. Now, I know a lot is done and said in our day and age about missions and mission schools and training of new missionaries, and some of that's legitimate. But a new missionary, where does it begin? Where must it always start? In the local church. A member in the local church. A godly man in the local church. A godly couple in the local church taken on to do the work of missions. That's the biblical model. That's the New Testament model we see, that new missionaries come from the local church. So, since that's the case, since that's what we see in the scriptures, what should one of your desires be? What should you pray for? What should one of your goals be as a local church to see a new missionary come from your midst? Now, is that a guarantee the Lord will send out a new missionary from your church? Not necessarily, but that should be one of your goals. That should be your desire. Lord, raise up a godly man from our church. Raise up a godly couple to go and do the work of pioneer gospel missions. Acts 13, we read that earlier, verses 2 and 3 I'll read. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas to the work to which I have called them." After fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Okay, that's the first missionary team being sent out from where? The church. And we should do the same in our day and age. Seminaries and Bible schools and missionary training schools, etc., are not the biblical model from where new missionaries come from. Now, that's not saying they're necessarily wrong or bad, but the model is clearly in the Bible that it begins in the local church. From where new missionaries come from. So the missionaries, the evangelists of the New Testament, men like Barnabas and Silas, John Mark and many others, the list goes on and on, came from the local church. So what should your response to this be? One of your main goals, as I've said already, should be that from within your own church, the Lord would be pleased to raise up a new missionary to do pioneer gospel work. And I stress that, I emphasize that, because that's what missions is in the New Testament. Again, I mentioned this morning in the report, you know, the word missions, the term missions can mean almost anything now in our day and age. But biblically, it's about pioneer gospel work, getting the gospel to new areas where the gospel has never gone. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you as a church, pray to this end, make goals to this end, that the Lord would be pleased to raise up a new missionary from your church that you can send out to do this work. Fourthly, what kind of new missionaries are taken on? Now, this is important because in our day and age, it seems like anybody's qualified to be a missionary. And you could just send out anybody, if they're a teenager even, you know, just send them out to do missions work. And that's not what we see in the New Testament at all. Let me read this text again. Follow with me in Acts chapter 16. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, Acts 16, 1 through 3. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brothers. And that's what I'm keying in on this question. Fourthly, what kind of new missionaries are taken on? The best men and the best couples. We see that in the book of Acts. We see that in Jesus' ministry as he chose his 12 disciples and sent them out. And we see that here in the early church as well. Paul goes to this church. He doesn't just say, you know, who wants to sign up? Let's just take anybody. That is done in America today. And again, I focus on America. That's our country. That's our culture. Other countries, I'm sure, things are done probably differently, possibly differently. But that's the way it's usually done in America. Anybody, everybody could just do whatever they want when it comes to ministry. And that's not what we see in the scriptures. And that's not what we see here in our text either. Paul's desire is, I want a man, I want a couple that is gifted and qualified from the local church to be involved in this ministry. I want your best. Now, I don't know if Paul went to this church and preached a message like this and asked the church to send a new missionary or recruiting. I'm not sure how Paul did it, but his desire was, I want to see some of your best men be part of this work. And so Paul takes Timothy on as a new missionary because one main reason, he was well spoken of. Timothy had a good reputation. He had a good testimony. He was a godly man. He was a gifted man to do this work. And that's certainly one reason why Paul wanted him to accompany him in his mission work. One main reason that Timothy was qualified to be a missionary and evangelist was because of his good testimony. Couples, too. I mentioned couples because we see the example in the New Testament of Priscilla and Aquila doing missions work or doing evangelism. And so it's not just the man, but godly couples as well. One of the things that you should think of as a church is, what's one of our best couples that we could send out? If it's a single guy, what's one of our best single men we could send out to do missions work? But most people in churches are couples, families. What's our best family we could send out? Instead of thinking first, and as the default, we want to keep them here. We want to just keep them for our church. You know, I mentioned that earlier as one of the reasons possibly why a lot of churches don't think of sending new missionaries out is because of the inward focus. Don't have only an inward focus. Think of the world. Think of God's kingdom. And think of sending one of your best couples to do the work of pioneer gospel missions. Often, again, this is my experience and from the things I've seen and the things I've heard, often it seems that the leftovers are sent to the front lines. The people who can't quite make it here, you know, let's just send them overseas. We'll get rid of them and we'll send them over there and they'll do some kind of ministry over there. And again, that's certainly not what we see in the New Testament. Timothy was possibly the best gifted man in the church, and they didn't keep him. They sent him to do the work of what we call missions. The missionaries and evangelists of the New Testament, again, men like Philip and Epaphras, Titus, Apollos, Priscilla and Aquila, and others, were from the best of the local churches. They weren't just, well, you know, they're good enough, so let's just send them out to do missions work, to do evangelism. No, they were probably the best, the most gifted, the most able, the boldest, those who knew the gospel the most, those who could boldly preach the gospel the best. Those are the ones sent to the front lines to do the work. And certainly under this heading, under this question of sending out the best to do this work, that means that the man and the couple have to be doing this type of ministry here before they go. I'm sure Timothy was doing this. I'm sure the first time he preached publicly and did evangelism was not with Paul. Now, we don't see that here, but that's probably the case. and with Jesus' disciples as well. You don't want to send out someone to go preach in New Guinea or India or anywhere else overseas as their first time preaching and their first time evangelizing. What qualifies a man and a couple to do the work? One thing is that they're doing it here. Who are your couples that are evangelizing? Who are the men that are boldly preaching the gospel here in your communities now that you could consider sending out into the world? The work of missionaries preaching the gospel to the unevangelized is so important. Make sure you send your best to do it. You know, think of any other area of life, whether it's the military, whether it's companies, whether it's politics, the best are always sent to do the work. Now, we're all gifted in different ways, obviously. We're focusing this evening on the work of missions, the work of evangelizing the world. It's so important that we evangelize the world, that we get the gospel to those people groups and those language groups that have never heard, that we send our best to do it. Isn't it worth sending our best for the sake of the gospel? Instead of keeping them saying, well, we just want the best for our church. The work of missions is so important. The work of the gospel, getting to the unevangelized, is so important. We need to consider sending our best. And isn't it worth it to do it? So what should your response be? I want to challenge you as a church to pray to this end. As the Lord leads you, if this is your desire, pray towards this end. Holy Spirit, raise up from our midst one of our best couples we could send out. One of our boldest men to go to an unevangelized people group to preach the gospel. And don't be thinking, well, you know, that's not going to happen. That's just not possible. We're not going to do it. Don't think like that. I don't encourage you to think how we see in the text. Just think how we see things in the book of Acts. And pray that the Holy Spirit would raise up one of your best men, one of your best couples to go do this work. Question number 5. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Now, we don't see this directly in the text in Acts 16, 1 through 3. But it's very clear throughout the book of Acts. And as we see Paul and Timothy continue this work, Paul took Timothy on as a new missionary to accompany him in evangelistic gospel preaching. In the New Testament, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, to do the work of an evangelist. And Paul refers to Timothy in the New Testament as a co-worker doing the same work. Clearly, Paul took Timothy on to help him in the preaching of the gospel. Evangelistic gospel preaching. Not preaching behind a pulpit to Christians, though there was times they did that, but primarily to preach publicly to unbelievers, what we call evangelism. That was Paul's desire. Paul's desire, I want to see a man accompany me or a couple accompany me to do the work of preaching the gospel. And it's clear from Acts and the missions theme of the New Testament that new missionaries were taken on to do this work. And I emphasize that because, again, in our day and age, in our culture, usually that's not the case. Of all the missionaries or all the people who go under that name that I've spoken to in the previous years, the majority are not taken on to do evangelistic gospel preaching. The vast majority are not. Now, I don't know if that's a shock to you or not, but that's my experience. And we are in the area of missionaries. We talk to lots of missionaries. We see people from different mission organizations and such. The majority are not taken on to do this. But biblically, a missionary is taken on to preach the gospel. So churches should be sending out men who are gifted, who are able, who are bold to do evangelistic gospel preaching. And that's certainly one reason why Paul wanted Timothy to join him. The gospel must be preached. You know, we hear the gospel, we sort of just have to live out the gospel and we should make relationships first. And, you know, some of that's legitimate. Some of that's true. But the emphasis in the New Testament is that the gospel is a message that must be proclaimed and preached. And let me read a few verses here just to emphasize this more. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. They went throughout the villages preaching the gospel, Luke 9:6. They preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, Acts 14:21. God had called us to preach the gospel to them, Acts 16:10. I made it my goal to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, Romans 15:20. Christ sent me to preach the gospel, 1 Corinthians 1:17. I came to Troas to preach the gospel, 2 Corinthians 2:12. And there's many other references, but that's just a few. The gospel is a message to be preached. New missionaries should be sent out to preach the gospel. I mentioned that earlier this morning as well in the report. The main activity of a missionary is to preach the gospel. We see that throughout the New Testament. Beginning with John the Baptist, then to Jesus, all the disciples and the apostles and evangelists, they had one primary activity, proclaiming the gospel. And new missionaries are to be taken on to do that. So you might be thinking in the pew right now, well, you know, I'm a mother and, you know, I'm not going out to preach the gospel. Well, pray that your children would. Pray that God would make your children, your boys, men who are bold to preach the gospel in the future. Pray that men or couples in the church would do this work. Though you yourself might not, and the majority are not sent to do that. We all know that. But maybe there's a man in this church who would. Maybe there's a couple in this church who would. And as you think of a new missionary being sent out, make it your goal. We're sending a new missionary to preach the gospel where the gospel is not being preached. So God's word clearly directs God's people to do good works. No one would argue with that. Christians are supposed to do good works. Helping the poor, feeding the hungry, providing medical attention, etc. We could write a long list. And Christians should be involved in those things. But the mission of Jesus' church and the work of the Great Commission is to announce the gospel to all the peoples of the world. And new missionaries need to be taken on to do that. So when you think of what is a missionary, why should we send out a new missionary? It's someone who's sent out as an ambassador to proclaim the message of the gospel. So a new missionary must be taken on not just to preach the gospel, but to preach the gospel. A new missionary must preach the exclusivity of the gospel in Acts 14:12. There's only one way of salvation, that's through Christ. A new missionary must preach repentance of sin as an integral part of the gospel message. A new missionary must preach God's sovereignty and salvation as part of the gospel message. A new missionary must preach hell as part of the gospel message. A new missionary must preach imputation as central to the gospel message. A new missionary must preach on propitiation as foundational to the gospel message. A new missionary must preach the resurrection as the historical climax of the gospel message. And a new missionary must preach discipleship as part of the gospel message. So the goal is to proclaim the gospel. And a new missionary needs to be taken on to do that. Now, can churches and organizations and schools send out people to help a missionary? Of course, we see that in the book of Acts as well. Men like Luke, though he wasn't directly involved and active. He was there as a journalist and as a doctor and other things. So there's a place for that, but that's not the emphasis of the sermon tonight. The emphasis is to send out men and couples to do the main activity of the Great Commission, which is to proclaim the gospel where the gospel isn't being preached. And I hope that after this morning and this evening and being with you, I have been able to further challenge you of the need to see the gospel get to the unevangelized. You know, a lot of times we get comfortable here in America and we just assume the whole world's Christian. You know, we've seen firsthand there are places on planet Earth where the gospel has never gone. And a lot of times we become content with just our own Christianity. And don't be content with that. Don't be comfortable with just being a Christian in America and not considering the rest of the world. There are many places, many people groups where the gospel has not gone. And you can be directly active and participate in that work by sending out a new missionary to one of those places. Pray about it. Now, maybe it won't happen for a year. Maybe it won't happen for 5 years. But if you seek the Lord, He'll raise up a missionary from your church, if that's one of your main goals and desires, and I pray that it would be. So taking on a new missionary is so important, and preaching the gospel is so important that we must do it. What could be better than to take on a new missionary to preach the gospel to an unevangelized people group? Last question. Why should new missionaries be taken on? This is sort of just some general concluding remarks. Why should new missionaries be taken on? And I want to mention this first. I was thinking about this past week, and it's not in my notes here. The churches we visit around America are solid churches, gospel churches that believe God's word, that proclaim the gospel. They're good churches. Most churches in America are not. Whether evangelical, liberal, whatever. Most churches, most religious buildings in America are not gospel-centered, are not biblical churches. But many of them are. And your church is. It's a church that loves the gospel, that elevates and proclaims the word of God. There are, and I say that to say this, there are many religious groups around our country that send out all types of people to do all types of quote-unquote missions. And most of it, as I said earlier, is not to see the gospel preached in areas where it hasn't been preached before. But you're sensitive to this as a church that's built upon the gospel, as a church that loves the word of God. You understand, probably more than most churches in America, what missions is all about, what the Great Commission is, to see the gospel advance in Christ's kingdom go out through all the world and his church be built. You understand that more than probably most churches in America. But think of all those other churches, quote unquote churches, religious groups that send tons of money and tons of people and tons of resources to do all kinds of other stuff that isn't gospel work. But you have the opportunity to be directly involved in doing pioneer gospel work. And I hope that I can challenge you from this text and by the Holy Spirit's leading to be involved in this work. So let me conclude here with some of the reasons why new missionaries should be sent out. Because Jesus, our Lord, has told us to. You know, people ask me, why are you a missionary and why'd you go? One main reason I've always given, Jesus said to. For me, that was enough. Go do missions. Okay, I'll go do it. You know, for a lot of Christians, that's not enough. It should be. Why should your church seriously consider sending out a new missionary to an unevangelized people group? What's one main reason? Jesus said to. Right? That's good enough. And Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's not a suggestion. That's a command to your church. And it's not just praying, though you should, and that's extremely important. It's not just giving, though that's good, and you should do that. But it's also in sending. Another reason, I read this earlier from Luke chapter 10, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And Jesus then directly said in the context of evangelizing and missions, so pray for workers to go out, because most people don't want to do it. So pray as a church that some of you would want to do it. And as a church, the Lord would be pleased to raise up a man or a couple here to do that work. Another reason, so that the unevangelized would hear the gospel and believe. That's a good reason, right? Romans chapter 10. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? So how are those unevangelized people in the Middle East can hear the gospel? You know, Paul's argument here in Romans 10 is the only way is if you go. That's the only way. The only reason why the people in Mocha are hearing the gospel now is because we've went. That's the only reason, practically. And so consider that. You know, when you think about the world, remember there are unevangelized people groups out there. And I'm not talking about a post-Christian culture like Europe. You know, a lot of times we talk about that. And, you know, everybody needs the gospel, and so we should send missionaries everywhere. You know, that's not what the New Testament emphasizes when it comes to missions. The New Testament emphasizes advancing the gospel to all the front lines so that all places are reached. Not the places that were reached and then we need to go back to them. Not that that's necessarily wrong. But our goal in missions should be we need to send a new missionary where the gospel has never been and get someone there to preach the gospel to them. Another reason, because Christ needs to save his people. John 10:16, Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. How is Christ going to save his people? You know, we pray a lot about it, right? You know, Lord, save your people and build your church and Jesus come. And those are good prayers. But our responsibility is to go call them, to go to them, to tell them the gospel. But the people in the remote jungles in South America, the deserts of the Middle East, and all other places that are unevangelized in the world, they're never going to hear until you go. And the Lord is pleased to raise up a man or a couple from your church to do this work. Christ will save his people. He will send his missionaries to do the work of preaching the gospel. But what a privilege if the Lord would send a family from your church, right? To be part of this work. So pray to this end, work to this end, give to this end, labor to this end, make goals to this end. Should that be the only goal of your church? No. But that's what we're emphasizing this evening from our text in Acts 16. That should be one of your main goals. And one final reason I want to mention. Why should new missionaries be taken on and sent out? To continue the advance of the gospel in our generation until all the places and peoples of the world are evangelized and Jesus returns. That's a good reason as well. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed, shall be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. The end won't come until you and I complete the work of missions in the Great Commission, evangelizing the whole world. Not where the gospel has gone, and we need to just continue to bring it there and bring it there and bring it there and bring it there and plant more and more churches. But that's not necessarily wrong. But the work of missions is to see the gospel get to areas where it's never gone so that the entire world would be evangelized. So let me conclude here. Give me a few minutes. We asked six questions. Should new missionaries be taken on? Yes. Who takes on new missionaries? The current missionaries do. Question three, from where are new missionaries taken on or who sends them out? The local church. Question four, what kind of new missionaries are taken on? The best men and the best couples from the church. Question five, what are new missionaries taken on to do? Preach the gospel. And six, why should new missionaries be taken on? I just gave you a few reasons that we see in the scriptures. So if the gospel has transformed your thinking and your goals, in your passions, if it's transformed your entire lives, then one of your main goals, your mission, will be to get the gospel to unevangelized peoples in this world. When you have your prayer meetings, when you have family devotions, when you men preach in the church, that should be one of the things you talk about and pray about often. So the goal of recruiting a new missionary is not, this is countercultural, it's not about getting more members to a club or a social group or a large missionary organization. And that's the goal for a lot of missions. The goal is not, when we recruit new missionaries, doing a short-term global adventure trip. And I know that's the case for many as well. It is not seeing the world and becoming more multicultural or well-rounded in geography, though that is the case for many. Biblically, that is not the goal of recruiting new missionaries. The goal in recruiting a new missionary is to see the gospel advance to a new area. That's what I stressed all day today. There are places where the gospel hasn't gone. And we've just gone to one of them recently in the past few years. They exist, and there's thousands of them out there. People groups and language groups where there's not one single Christian. So when we talk about new missionaries, when we pray about missions, we want to see a missionary sent to those people groups in those places. Would the Lord be pleased to raise up a couple from your church to go to such a place? Listen to this. If every biblically based and gospel-centered church sent out just one couple from their church, one of their best couples. If every biblical church in America did that, the work of the Great Commission would be done in our generation. I mean, there's 17,000 people groups, I think, in the world, if I got the number correct. I forget off the top of my head. There's a number of thousand that still need to be reached, 5,000 or so. There's more than 5,000 good churches in America, gospel churches, preaching the word. If every church, just in our country, I'm not talking about the rest of the world, just in our country, would send out their best couple to reach an unevangelized people group, the work of the Great Commission would be done in our generation. Just think of that. But if we continue not to send our best couples to preach the gospel, to evangelize the world, the Great Commission will never be over. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to do this work. Is Jesus and his gospel your one singular passion, as it was with the early church? Then intentionally participate in a new missionary being taken on from your church to go proclaim the gospel in a new area of the world where it's never been announced. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this passage in Acts 16 of Paul going to the local church where Timothy was and taking him on as a new missionary. We thank you for the example we see throughout the New Testament of new missionaries being taken on to preach the gospel and to go where the gospel had never been preached, to see your kingdom advance to the front lines. Father, it's our desire as your people to continue this work, to see the gospel go to areas where it still hasn't gone, to see you call your people from these places, your elect for whom Christ has died, that the gospel would go to them, that they would be saved, that your church would be built. Father, we long to see the end come. We long to see your church finished and your kingdom complete. And so send us, Father, to do this work, to directly participate in advancing the gospel to new areas, into all the areas of the world. And Father, I pray that if it is your goodwill for this church, according to your purposes for them and for the world and for your kingdom, that it would please you to raise up a godly couple from this midst to go to a new area in the world where the gospel is not being preached, to advance the gospel to these new areas. So, Father, do this for your glory, according to your will, and for the sake of Christ. Amen.